Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Arcade Cozy, the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And we are coming back at you. I just said batch at you
batch
again. Corey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I think I just clicked for me. It's been a hot minute since we recorded, even though there won't be any irregularity to our episodes dropping. It's been, what, like a week and a half?
Yeah, because we recorded the last episode early.
Right, yeah.
A few days before it posted, and then this one is like right before it's going to post. So yeah, I mean, it's been a little longer. And then it'll feel weird because, you know, this episode will go, I'm going on vacation this coming weekend. So this episode will go live and oh, what are we doing? Oh, I guess we're going to miss a week, Corey. Oh, no. Yeah, I guess. It's dawning on me. well, because this one is this week's episode.
Yeah.
And then, I'm going to be gone until next Thursday. So,
Okay.
Everybody, you heard it here first.
Wow.
So, I guess we're going to.
Well, we might not miss a week. I might just record something on my own.
Yeah, Corey, feel free.
I'm really, really debating picking up Diablo 4.
So,
really debating it. So who knows? You might get something out of me this week.
Yeah. It's a weird week because I'm going on vacation, but then there's also the summer at Keeley's is happening this weekend. So yeah, it'll be maybe Corey. Maybe we'll just post a late episode. Maybe we'll record after we get back and you guys can look forward to it on like a cool Friday, Saturday, something. Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, it's exciting. There's so Xbox executives I think are like I don't know what they're doing exactly. So they like there was an Xbox executive who came out and was just like, yeah. You guys, you better get ready. This showcase is gonna be off the chain, but also don't get too excited. But it's also gonna be cool. Like he very much. It sounded like he was saying there's gonna be cool stuff, but don't get your hopes up. Is kind of the way that it was being pitched, and it's I understand the like the need to come from that direction to be like, no matter what is shown, please do not be expecting something in case it is not here, because we want you to come away happy. But I mean, effectively, it's like they said it's going to be a lot of games. It's going to be a lot of Starfield. They took some jabs at Sony's showcase saying like, you know, we're not going to show a movie trailer. Haha, Gran Turismo. We're not going to show any full CG trailers. We're not going to, you know, I like the wording full CG trailers. Like, you know, who knows how you could take that.
We'll see.
And they also said, we are not confirming that all of these games will be out in the next year.
Yeah.
Which is also a
you Silk Song.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not even that, but like, I mean, Silk Song's that, Starfield's that, but they also had Forza Motorsport, Ark 2, Stalker 2, like most of their game. It's not even like, it would be one thing if it's like, one slip through. Most of their games didn't hit that window. So yeah, I mean, it's a good call on that end, but I'm interested in seeing, Corey. This is our last episode before that happens. Any big predictions? What they're going to show?
I mean, they're going to show tons of Starfield. I feel like that.
Yep.
They showed a lot last year, but they also didn't. It was, it felt very contained and just a lot of still shots of some of the core planets. I think we're going to see like a pretty beefy. Like extended trailer of probably like a full, probably like 15 minute clip, 10 minute clip of like a mission, something like that.
Yep.
That's what I anticipate. I think we get a Silk Song date like a release date for Silk Song. For the in my mind, for them to have the audacity to come out last year and say this is coming out within the next year and it doesn't, I feel like with that statement in mind, it has to be close to release, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I fully anticipate them being like Silk Song September 24th, something like that, like this year.
Yep.
Trying to think what else is there. There will be a Day of Drop banger. I feel like that happened with like Pentiment. That happened with Hi-Fi Rush.
It did happen with Hi-Fi Rush. You're right.
Yeah. Pentiment came out last like October, November, right? So I don't know if it's going to be like it. That didn't come with the showcase. That just kind of low-key dropped.
Yeah.
Regardless, I think they're going to have this comes out today and it's going to be a banger.
Yeah. And that's probably the thing that I'm most looking forward to is just whatever that thing is. Cause that legitimately does feel like and I've talked about it here. Like it seems like the strongest part of their lineup currently are these like just kind of under the radar games like Pentiment and Hi-Fi Rush. These games that just like are made by really strong teams who are just given some creative liberty. So yeah, I'm excited to see what comes out of that. Also, you know, I mean, my big thing would be Fable. Love to see Fable.
Yeah.
I would
like to see a lot of Fable.
I was looking just to see. Fable was initially, they showed their teaser trailer for Fable back in 2020.
I feel like something's gonna be coming around. Otherwise it's just scrapped.
Yeah. It's been a while. But I love Fable. And now I can care about it because I have an Xbox. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
boy. Excited about that. We'll see what happens. But yeah, the Summer of Keeley's. What else do they have going on? You said who else
Capcom's
has a
Capcom's next showcase? Monday. Capcom is, which I'm very excited to see what Capcom's going to be showing off. I imagine they'll announce like a Street Fighter, like next hero DLC, whatever that is.
Okay.
I mean, how could you not off of how well Street Fighter VI has done? I mean, we're going to be talking about it later. Spoilers. but with its like widespread praise, how many people are playing it? I think they would be foolish not to at least be announcing something coming down the pipeline for that. We'll see something Resi. I feel like they are on the Resi train right now, and it's going to be another Monster World DLC.
Yep.
And or Monster Hunter, not Monster World,
or Monster World Hunter,
or
never know.
Monster World. Yeah, you never know. I'm trying to think. What else is Capcom like? What else are they really?
They got Mega Man.
I would be down for Mega Man.
They could do some Mega Man.
But
they got.
I feel like they have their three pillars right now.
Yeah.
Resi. Monster World Hunters, and then whatever their current is it Street Fighter or man? What if they did Capcom versus Marvel again?
What?
I'd be very but regardless, I think that'll be very good.
Speaking of where my brain was going, there is also, this won't be happening until next week, but there is also the RCG Summit Sega announced. And the rumor is that Yakuza, aka Like a Dragon 8, will be seeing some action because they will be, what's their name? Ryu Ga Gotoku Studio. They will be there. I'm sure there will be some Yakuza action happening.
If Yakuza, if Like Dragon 2, Yakuza 8, whatever we want to call it, drops this year, I don't know what I'm going to do, Chris.
It would be wonderful.
It would be incredible. It'd be so, so good. I might cry. But tears of joy and tears of just, I don't have the time.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you have options, Corey. You can quit your job. You could adopt the life of a humble hermit. Never emerge into the world again.
No, I feel like we'd have to go like full arcade cozy streamer like vibes.
Yeah, we could.
That's going to happen. And yeah. I don't know if I have the capacity to do that day in and day out.
We'll see. We'll broach it as we come down the pipe. Everybody, just keep your ears to the to the speakers. We'll be here. Corey, also wanted to, have you heard about the Apple Vision Pro?
I have.
Ah, damn it. I wanted to surprise you with this, Corey.
No.
I mean, it's hard to surprise because it feels like it's every headline. Yeah. We're recording the same day that Apple did their WWDC events, and they showed off, finally, after many rumors, the Apple Vision Pro headset, which is a mixed reality spatial vision headsets, which is relevant. I mean, it's tech, but it's also, you know, they're touting some like gaming as being a thing potentially to be able to use for it. And at least from the tech demo, the thing looks absolutely fascinating. And it also costs $3,500, which is a lot of money it depends on how you want to frame it. Half glass empty, some goggles. Half glass full, the future. Yeah. So, I mean,
I don't know. When I see that, it gives me a little like panic in my chest.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, we're getting into like the Ready Player One territory. We're moving into like Blade Runner. What's the movie? They did a remake of it. Colin Firth's in it, where he like goes to like a simulator thing, and they put the thing in, and you don't know. He doesn't know if he's in a simulation, if this is real, if this is not real. What's it called?
I don't know, Corey. Is this The Matrix?
No, it's not The Matrix. gosh, what's that movie called? Regardless, it's one of those things where I see this, I'm like, okay, we're starting to take a lot of steps towards like a blend or like a smudging of what is reality and what is not, and makes me uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah. Like, is it Empire of Light?
No, it's not.
Okay, that was the first thing that popped up whenever I searched.
Who else is in it? Jessica Alba's in it, I think. No, it's not Jessica Alba. Well, no, what's her name? Who is Justin Timberlake married to?
Jennifer Aniston.
No.
Britney Spears.
No, dude, no. I don't even know if it, that's off. She is an actress. She's in a lot of things. I just can't remember her name right now. I feel really bad.
This is a fun game. Timberlake wife, Jessica Biel.
Yeah, Jessica Biel and Colin Firth movie. You can go from there.
Firth, Jessica Biel. Easy Virtue is the first thing that comes.
No.
Yeah, all I see is Easy Virtue. Just on. All that Google is giving me.
Hold on. I'm going to pull it up. You give me your thoughts on the vision thing.
So, Easy Virtue is a witty period drama for Colin Firth lovers.
There's two different Colin Firths.
There's two different Colin Firths.
Yes. What are you
talking about?
Yes.
Are you talking about Colin Farrell?
Maybe I am talking about Colin Farrell.
Are you talking about Total Recall?
Total Recall. I am talking about Colin Farrell, not Colin Firth.
When Colin Farrell, when you tripped Colin Farrell in my brain, I was like, I think he's talking about Total
Recall. You should have just said it then.
I didn't realize until literally it came out of my mouth. When I said Colin Farrell, I was like, oh yeah, he was in a movie with Jessica Biel. Oh yeah, what was it? Total Recall.
Glad we got there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. Like, it is a weird thing. Well, and it's also a weird thing that, like, It's a whole nother podcast. It's a whole nother discussion, but like, it's a weird thing that it's like same year as we're having this big, push of AI mm-hmm. and things, just these, like, it's a lot of stuff that potentially can make you feel uneasy. I mean, like, most notably recently I haven't had like a huge, like, I haven't had a big negative reaction to AI on certain things. Like, you know, I think there are a lot of perspectives you can have about it of, you know, just ethical and environment, like just all these different things. But like the first time that it legitimately, like, there's been some video like deep fakes and stuff where I've been like, eh, that's not great. Whenever I was copying your voice, Corey, you might remember such lines as, hold on, I wasn't prepared for this, Corey. No. Stop.
You shouldn't be prepared.
Like this. I've been out here in Radlandia, bro, shredding the gnar, getting that booty, doing them tricks, man. Yeah.
Such as that, you know?
Okay, so I've had this thing for Commander Shepard since high school. Yeah. I don't know. My money don't jiggle.
Yeah, you might remember that one, too.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, all of these like AI things, like there are levels to it where it's like, it can feel a little weird. I think the first thing that really kind of like clicked in me that was like, oh, I don't know about this, was a device called the Paragraphica that I recently saw shown off, and it was a like developer out of Denmark, the Netherlands, Sweden, I can't remember. It was European country. I apologize. But he was showing off, it was basically like a Raspberry Pi device that he modded, but he basically, like, it's a camera body without a lens.
Okay.
And you take it out into the real world and it uses location data to generate an AI image based on where you are. And so you could dial in all these parameters and you could, like, and it would say, okay, it is this date with this weather, you are located between this thing and this thing on this street and this city, whatever. And it would generate an image.
Mm-hmm.
But it was super unsettling because, like, in my brain, I was like, it feels very strange to me to be in the real world and to take this device that effectively like creates a false reality for you while you were standing there. Mm-hmm. Not just like you're sitting at your computer and like, Bob, 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 I want a fake picture of the Eiffel Tower with like a hat on. Like, it's literally you're standing there and it is making an image based on what it is like perceiving the reality is. And yeah, I mean, I say all that, it's a long-winded way of saying, like, I can see, it's one of those things, AI, augmented reality, it's one of those things that I feel like is kind of our internet in a way, where, like, I mean, we were alive whenever the internet started coming up and everything, but I imagine people who were our age whenever that was coming on were just like, man, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
you're gonna connect us all at once.
Yeah.
And we can just like go online. Like I can just talk to like a stranger in a chat room. Just like sit down at my computer and go boop 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 boop. And now I'm talking. Like I imagine there were probably similar like revulsions in a way where it's just like you're sitting there and you're like, I just don't, this feels inhuman. And there is something about it where it's like, you know, they're trying to make it a very natural experience to like put these goggles on. It's like you're virtual, you never have to leave your virtual world. It's right here in front of you. Like,
even
you can
your
have
kids
your
are too and they want to play soccer with you.
You don't have to ever take it off because people can see you. You can see them. You can get work done. You can watch TV. You don't ever take these off your face ever. And like, I think like anything, I don't think it is. I don't think the reality is going to be this frightening, scary thing. But I think there will be elements of it that, yes, just like the internet, will be frightening mm-hmm. and scary and will make you question humanity. But it is one of those things that's like, just at an early glance, I'm like, man, this is cool. And it's very impressive. I'm very interested to see the use cases. I'm very mm-hmm. interested to see like where it falls flat. And I am very interested in just seeing like what comes out of it going on. Because like, I mean, not going to lie, like it's more interesting to me than like full on virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I don't love the idea of just being shut off from the world like mm-hmm. that. But I don't know. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. Hey, all I say is I've read Dune. I know how this ends with a giant worm boy sitting on a throne 30,000 years in the future.
Yeah. Do you want your grandchildren doing that? Do not buy $3,500 ski goggles.
There we go.
And if you don't have the money for it, do not buy the Meta Quest 3, now announced. Mm.
Poor timing.
Play with a stick. Mm-hmm. It did our ancestors good. It'll do you fine too. Yes. Speaking of sticks, let's talk about video games, Corey.
Yeah. This is why we're here.
We're not here to talk about sticks and glasses. What are we, 105? No, we're talking about video games. Burr, 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 burr. Corey, you've played video games. I've played video games. Mm. As we're recording this, it isn't quite out yet. Some people are like, I guess, early playing it, but Diablo 4?
No, Diablo 4 is fully out right now.
Is it fully out? I thought it came out tomorrow.
It dropped at 7 p.m. today.
What? I stand corrected. It has recently been released into the world. People are enjoying it. They are basically saying it's Diablo. If you expect it to not be Diablo, you're going to be disappointed. But if you want it to be Diablo, it's good Diablo. At the end of the day, I'm happy about, because I like Diablo. What Diablo is. I know what to expect from Diablo. I don't expect anything more from it. And so if it's just good Diablo, I can get with it.
Yeah, I've never played Diablo, but I've been watching a fair bit so far on it. I've been watching just like some people play on Twitch, some views on YouTube, some like class like recommendations, stuff like that. And I'm like, I think I would like this.
Yeah.
This seems fun. It scratches. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. My only reservation is I thought it was going to be in a similar style that Baldur's Gate 3 is. And it seems to be a very, like, down the same highway of a game, but very different, like, styles of implementation and of, like, actual like core gameplay is very different between the two. And from what I've seen, it's different enough where I'm like, okay, my interest is very peaked and I don't think it would burn me out on the style of game with Baldur's Gate coming in August. So
no, I mean, it's very much, it's the other side of the RPG coin where it's like, it is, Baldur's Gate is very much like there. I'm sure the systems of the game are going to be very interesting, but a lot of what's drawing you to Baldur's Gate is going to be like the story and the things that kind of play out in that. Diablo is very much is less that. Like, I don't have a huge story history with Diablo, but I played a lot of Diablo 3, and my experience with Diablo 3 was like, you know, there are twists and stuff in the story and it's interesting and whatever, but like that isn't what the game is. The game is, how can I min-max my character to the finest T to grind more enemies into paste than I did 5 seconds ago? There are a lot of people talking about like, oh, it scratches my lizard brain in the worst way possible. And it's like, I mean, that is what it is. Is like, it is designed to just like, oh, pretty colors, a lot of numbers. I'm watching the numbers go up. I'm getting new colors like that. That is my thing. And like there, it is that side of the coin where if you're looking for anything else, you may not feel very fulfilled, but if you're looking for just like, ooh, I'm going to take this wizard and I'm going to make him do a lot of damage and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And like that, if that's your lane, feel a little bit. I will say Diablo 3, played Diablo 3 on my own. Loved it. It's one of the few games I've gotten my wife to play. She loved it. Because my wife has a dark part of her. Whenever it comes to games where if that min-max itch starts getting scratched, she will go hard. And oh, she did. And we played a lot. So
I have that itch, but with just resource management games.
Yeah,
Football Manager and Crusader Kings, where
look at you,
full lizard brain, where I'm just like,
it's the core of our ancestry is managing our raiding parties, and I get it, I understand. But yeah, we probably, just for listeners to know, probably won't. I mean, you may have some thoughts about Diablo 4. I probably won't be picking up Diablo 4 just for a little while, just because I was like, man, I want to pick up Street Fighter 6. And then I'm going to the beach. And then right after the beach, Final Fantasy 16 is coming out. Mm-hmm. Still having a good time with Tears of the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So I can't overload myself. There's only so much of me. So I may just kind of, I may put off Diablo 4 a little while. Not forever, but you know. So just expect that if you're hoping for some of that content, it may just be a little protracted. You may just get a little drippings of it throughout the year, but yeah, Corey, you and I can play some of that together. It'll be fun.
Yeah,
love me. What class are you looking at
playing? From what I've seen, I think I'm leaning to barbarian. There's something. Normally, when I play D&D, I go probably caster generally. The few times, I think every time I've played, except we did a one shot for Christmas, that one of my players DM'd and I played, without getting into the weeds, that we all played different like holiday characters, and I played a barbarian Easter bunny.
Look at you.
It was very fun. But yeah, just looking at the class guide, like there's something that scratches the itch of diving into hell as just like this absolute brute and just like laying waste with just weapons. It's just like, I am just going to muscle my way through this and there's nothing you can do about it. Really scratches an itch for me in games. And I would say most of the time when I've played, like, let's say, like, Divinity Sin, like, the spell casting and that didn't really, like, grip me super well. A lot of times, if games don't have like a very robust light magic system, I kind of fall away from it in games. So I think sticking with just straight brute force, I think, will be best for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. So like some of these classes are return to forms from like old, Diablo games, so I'm sure that there are people who are familiar with them, and obviously they're pretty like basic archetypes. But Diablo 3 actually had like kind of a more like a different varied class, because they had the monk class, they had the witch doctor, they had the wizard, which is like the sorcerer, they had the demon hunter, they had the they had a, it may have been a barbarian or something similar. Well, they, so then they, I think later released the Crusader, who was like a paladin. And then they also later released the, it may have been a necromancer of a sort. I can't remember. But yeah, I played the Crusader a bunch. I played the monk a bunch. I played the witch doctor a bunch. I think, looking at it, I think the only one that I'm not interested in playing really is the sorcerer. That's never like been super my jam. But I think, Glass Cannon. I think I'm at least looking at it, like Druid and Necromancer seem like they could be really up my alley. So yeah, we'll see. Maybe Rogue. I don't know.
Give our listeners who don't know what Diablo is, just I guess a quick insight into it is essentially you kind of grind through, to my understanding, because I've never played, but
yep.
What I've seen, you adventure through different levels of hell. And in Diablo 4, there's Lilith. Lilith takes up multiple different monikers across multiple religions, fantasy, XYZ. She's usually a baddie, and she is the big baddie for Diablo 4, as you are looking for Lilith in hell in Diablo 4. And so it's you fighting through different beast armies or people, denizens of hell, collecting loot. It is very much, to my understanding, a loot grinder kind of a thing.
Yeah,
as like you go through, you're just looking for better and better gear, upping your stats, lizard brain, numbers go up, you feel happy. But it has spectacle to it, story to it. There's a little more substance than that, but that's just kind of the core gameplay loop of what you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, Diablo has a very rich history, and there's a lot of interesting stuff to it, but it definitely is kind of it's just the scene setting for what, like, all of the action that's happening on top of it. And that is the core loop of it, is you're going in and you're fighting these bosses and you're getting these drops that are like, you know, oh, this bumped my stats up 0.5%. Yeah, and you unlock new skills and you really kind of get into this rhythm of your characters where you're figuring out the most optimal way to deal with these big crowds. And so that is the fun of it, is like you're figuring out how to maximize your damage, to do as much damage as possible, burn through this stuff as quickly as possible. But yeah, I mean, the areas are really varied. I mean, obviously we haven't played Diablo 4, but like Diablo 3, you know, it was very like, you started in just this small old town and you're going around. The first big boss is this like undead king. And then by the end, you're basically in heaven and you're fighting the devil. And, you know, incredible. I mean, it's everything in between. it's probably about the same thing, where it'll be kind of like you're adventuring around. You're in this town, you're talking to these people, you're doing these side quests, you go out to the desert, you go out to a forest, you hit a swamp, there's spiders, they're like whatever. And then eventually, like, you'll zoom in, you'll be like, okay, now it's time to fight the demons. Now it's time to save the world. And like, we're going. So yeah, I'm excited about it. It still is one of those things where, you know, sometimes it's a little tough to get super excited about Blizzard stuff right now, but like, you know, Diablo's Diablo and it sounds good. So, you know. Yeah. I'm excited. We're here for it. Yeah. But Corey, what have we actually been playing?
Well, I picked up Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And so that is, I wouldn't say the main thing I've been playing. I've still been playing, I say, primarily Tears of the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, picked up Jedi Survivor. So Star Wars Jedi Survivor is the follow-up to Fallen Order, developed by Respawn. And yeah, can confirm it is good. It is very good, actually. I played Fallen Order a couple years ago. I just moved into our first house, so within the last 3 years, okay. I didn't play it right when it came out. And I thought it was above average, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, good. But it was trying to be a Dark Souls game. It was trying to be an Uncharted game. It was trying to be also kind of that narrative, like story-driven game that I feel like Sony has gotten a lot into.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like, I mean, it was trying to be a Star Wars movie that's a game. I guess is the best way I can describe it. It was, yeah, and I don't think it really handled a lot of that balancing act very well. I thought there's a lot of, like, features missing in the game. There weren't a ton of like upgrades. There wasn't a ton of reason to look to explore what they had, the worlds they had put together. I didn't think the worlds themselves were very linear. There's no fast traveling. There wasn't much to see in any of them. But altogether, I thought the combat was very good. I did think some of like the set pieces and some and the way you got through the levels was very well done. I just thought it was very much once you've seen it once or twice, you've seen it all, was how Fallen Order kind of felt playing. You played it as well, so I don't know how you thought about it. But the game, in my opinion, Fallen Order peaked in the middle at Kashyyyk, which is kind of the middle of the game.
Yeah.
And then after that, it felt very tropey of the general Star Wars stories. Without spoiling anything, you know, characters show up and you're just like, of course they're there, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But where I think Fallen Order stumbled, Survivor so far has been running at a beautiful grace. It picks up a few years after Fallen Order. Cal Kestis is a Jedi Knight, and he feels a Jedi Knight. I was saying, in Fallen Order, you felt very underpowered, very weak. You are effectively a Padawan slash youngling who's like been lucky to survive so far. And right now, Cal Kestis, full-on renegade. He's working with Saul Guerrera, who is very well known in the Star Wars canon. And is very, every inch a Jedi Knight, I would say. Opens up in like this like very fun heist mission. Without getting into too many spoilers for that, like Cal carries himself very well. The game's explored it so far in the second game. In the second world I'm on now, he is trapped. It feels he is trapped in a cycle of violence that he enjoys. Like, he enjoys being in this fight. He enjoys like getting his retribution for the Jedi Order. Cause within his view, from what he can see, he is one of maybe three Jedi left. Granted, that is not the case, but that is all he knows. You go up against a reoccurring villain from the first game early on. Without spoiling it, I mean, it's light work, and it is brutal work by him. Kind of one of those things of like, oh, that is, okay, Cal. Like, okay. I'm in. Like, this is the route we're going to go. Let's do it. You know, kind of a thing. It's TBD on whether that will continue. So far, I would say I've been to Coruscant, where the game opens, and Kobo, where the second world is. Coruscant is a little narrowed in. Felt very similar to Fallen Order, but very detailed. But Kobo so far is far more rich and detailed than any of the previous worlds ever were. I have found myself wandering down random, just like crevices on the wall, finding random doors that lead to Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, like trials, essentially. Like, this isn't super spoilery. It kind of deals with the Old Republic, or maybe the High Republic. Cal is finding all these old ruins, and you're essentially coming across these trials that were made for Jedi Knights. It's just like these shrines, quote unquote, where you're figuring out these puzzles, doing like these different challenges to get through them to like prove your worth. And it's so cool. I've done two of them so far, and I'm just like, okay, if this is going to be a mainstay for the rest of the game, I can really get into this. Combat wise, it doubles down on the Souls-esque to it. And this time around, again, like, Cal knows what he's doing, and you kind of feel it, like, far more maneuverable. His swings are quicker. Your movement between your stance is better. It does do the thing where it nerfs you, and you forget a lot of the stuff you had in the first game, which I don't like.
Yeah.
But you're not weak or underpowered, if that makes sense. You have enough to get by early on, and it has a pretty expansive skill tree this time around. very expansive skill tree this time around. But so yeah, that's the meat of it all. But I think it has a lot more soul this time around. Like Cal feels troubled. Like, their previous crew breaks up. You run into them and they're just like, why? Like Cal, like you, why are you fighting? Like, what are you doing? He's like, someone has to do this. Like, and like, I'm going to, cause no one else is, kind of a thing. It is a tormented soul. And, I'm really digging, like, whatever this game is going to do, I'm excited to see how Cal's journey unfolds, because you can see a little bit of the darkness behind those eyes. And it's like, okay, is he going to overcome it? Like, what's he going to be doing? Like, is he going to create his own path? Because so far, like, he isn't very Jedi-y in some of the decisions he's making. He's very, like, rebel, like, renegade was the word I used before. Like, I'm making my calls on these things. Like, I'm just going to do what I think is best. Not what a Jedi is going to do, but like, this is just what I'm going to do. Right. And yeah, I think it's really good. I think this has elevated what Fallen Order was by a lot. Where Fallen Order, where I thought was kind of, like I said, above average, I think this is a very good game. And it started out very hot, and I'm very excited to see what's going on. It also has this whole like town building system on the second world, where you're essentially like how a lot of Star Wars is, there's a lot of just desert planets. You're kind of more of in a like Grand Canyon-esque area is the best way I can describe. But you have a Western town essentially, and you're finding people across the world and like, hey, you should go back to town and like do what you're doing here, but just back there to help improve it. And you're essentially like building up this town. You're getting like new shops are opening up for you to visit. There's like different, there's a mount that you can now go and get. Oh, I can now buy different like shirts and like clothing here. Oh, this person's going back there and they're going to be bringing in like different items I can buy. And that's just what I found so far. And I think it's going to be really neat to see like, okay, I can like fully like turn this into something. It's just doing a lot of things and it's doing them so much better than it did the first time. I think they learned their lessons of like what wasn't working and what did work. And they're really just, I think they're dialed in on this. Is it a perfect game? No, there's still some bugs. Its file size is huge. It's like 115 gigs. God. PS. Yeah, no, I had to delete a lot of things. I'm like,
yeah,
what on earth? I think it definitely probably needed another couple months in the oven just to like clear out some of the, it is beautiful. I posted a picture on our Twitter, like when you're just standing there and the game can just like, oh, this is what you're looking at. But there's like sometimes some pretty lagging texture, like load ins, or like sometimes like enemies are doing things that I just can't see. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything game breaking. What I'm describing is only happened like once. But like there's been a couple of moments where I'm just like, okay, it's a little buggy. Maybe give it another couple of weeks for them to put another patch in. But yeah, it's good. It's also really funny too. It's very aware that it's a game, as like you're crawling along this wall. There's a droid talking like, wow, look at this view. I love this view. I'm going to do such a good job at this post. I'm going to get a promotion. Boy, if I get a promotion, that means I can't look at the view anymore. And like you're seeing the view and you're like, well, I'm about to just like force yeet them off of here.
Yep.
Like it's very aware
and
it's having fun with the fact that, no, this is a video game. Like we understand this is kind of a silly way for you to have to like crawl across these vines. You're going to get there. We're going to make it a little fun for you though. And it's done that with a few different things. Like it's incorporated a lot of PS2 things too, now that I'm like really thinking about it. Like it has like the Crash Bandicoot and Jack and Daxter, like you're like monkey barring like down this whole thing. And you can hear like stormtroopers like talking. But you also have the thing where you're jumping back and forth between the walls, like you would in like Ratchet and Clank, to like elevate your way up to a higher surface. Yeah, it does a lot of things really well. Like, I think the hype and praise for it are definitely deserved. I just think it has some, like, bugginess that, not like the fun kind that would be in Skyrim. And it's more in the, oh, kind, where you're just like, oh, all right, well, let me die and reload, and okay, now we're fine. So yeah, Jedi Survivor, really good. I really like it. And that is my biggest hang up of not getting Diablo 4, because I'm like, I really want to finish this. Because once Final Fantasy 16 comes out, I'm going to kick it to the curb if I'm not done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that has been the main reason that I haven't played it yet, has been, so I played Fallen Order last year, I think. Mm-hmm. I think last summer. So it's been about a year. And I enjoyed it. Like, it was fun. But it definitely was a thing where I was like, I'm not like super hot on this. It doesn't feel super fun to play in some spots. Like, the, you know, the platforming's not great. And, you know, but I'm interested. Like, I like Star Wars. So I like this kind of like world building, and I like what's going on. I had a lot of fun with it. And that has been the general consensus, is people are like, yeah, it feels like better that. It feels like a better version of that. And it's like, okay, like, I want to come into it and play it well. But it was like, it came out like a week before Tears mm-hmm. of the Kingdom. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, if I'm going to give this a fair shake, I can't play it while I'm I'm right on the heels of trying to play one of these other things. So, yeah, I want to play it later, but yeah, it's definitely going to be one of those things that probably like comes in the fall.
Feels like a September pickup for you.
Maybe, oh, no, or that's maybe
Spider-Man 2. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like a maybe July. I don't know. Depending on when. Mm-hmm. There's that weird window, probably like late July, early August, where there's like
Baldur's Gate 3, August 3rd.
Is it August 3rd? I thought it was like late August.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's August 3rd.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
But yeah, I'll come back to it eventually. Maybe. I'd say come back to it. I'll come to it for the first time eventually.
One day.
Yeah.
Soon.
Sweet. Anything additional to say about it? How's Cal's mustache and mullet?
So I did find the mullet, and I gave him the mullet immediately. I don't have a mustache yet. I can buy it, though. When I go back, I have the stuff to buy it, and I'm absolutely rolling with the mullet and mustache. The ponchos got tiring last game. It's fun to like have to be able to like dress Cal how you want. Again, like I said, they took a lot of the complaints people had from the first game, and they heard them, and they've brought them in for this game. It is a jump. Like, I think I texted you, like, it's an AC1 to AC Assassin's Creed 1 to Assassin's Creed 2 level of jump.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of other things that are similar to it. I can't compare it to Red Dead, because those are games in a category of their own. Nothing really jumps off the head for me to give another good comparison. But yeah, I just think it's really, really good.
Love it. Yeah, Corey, looks like you're wrong. Baldur's Gate 3, August 31st.
Oh, I just had to add a one to the end.
Yeah. So yeah, it looks like July is really just Oxenfree 2, July 12th. Immortals of Avum, July 20th. Mm. Pikmin 4, July 21st. But yeah. Mm. Between that, I mean, Sea of Stars comes out at the end of August. Yep. Baldur's Gate 3 comes out at the end of August. Armored Core 6 comes out at the end of August. So there's a window in there. About a month and a half. Mid-July to end of August.
Now I'll probably just play Dredge during that, is my guess.
Look at you. That'll be fun. Yeah, I may still be playing Final Fantasy 16 during that time.
I might still be playing Final Fantasy 16 during that time. From what I've heard of that, it does have a shorter main story. They've come out and Really? There's a lot of content, but like I think the main story they said it's like 25 hours.
That the more that they talk about it, the more that it sounds like, and I've heard some people describe it from previews like Final Fantasy 13 in that way.
Okay.
Where like I don't know that I've played a Final Fantasy game. I don't know that I've played more of the back half of a Final Fantasy game than I have Final Fantasy 13. Like Final Fantasy 13, I arguably did not really enjoy for the first little bit because it is so... Did you ever play Final Fantasy 13, Corey?
Mm-mm. I've only done 7 Remake. Also, there's a lot of news on 7 Remake Part 2 / Rebirth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've played 9 and 15.
Okay.
I want to pick up the digital remaster for 6, though. That's on list.
Yeah, me too. Also for our, because we're kind of lacking on our 1 year challenge of playing games and stuff.
Deus Ex bought and loaded.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 4 was also on mine, Corey. Mm-hmm. Okay. So keep that in your brain. To be fair, I also haven't played many of yours. So maybe any. Who knows? We did have Souls. Yeah. What was I going to say, Corey? How dare you? Final Fantasy 13. It is very... So the story probably is maybe like 30-ish hours long. And like the first 15-ish are just completely linear. Mm. And to the point, like not even just linear, but like completely almost unfun. In a way, because like I think one of the most fun things about Final Fantasy 13 is the flexibility. So like the big thing with Final Fantasy 13 was its combat system. And it has this like paradigm system where you can be like, at any given moment, you can be one of these like 6 different classes that has its own like class, quote unquote. But it's basically like this glorified skill set where it's like, okay, this one is like really tank heavy and they draw a lot of aggro, and this one's really magic heavy, and this one heals, and this one does debuffs, and this one whatever. And at the beginning of the game, there are a lot of sequences where it's like, these two people go off together. And it's like, it's a healer and like a debuffer or whatever. Yeah. It's like, well, this sucks. I'm going through, I can barely do damage, and it's just me just pressing the A button over and over, and it's not very fun. The game really opens up like about halfway through, it opens up and becomes very like wide and open, and you have all the people, you can start playing with them, but eventually you also gain the ability to unlock everybody can use all of these paradigms. Because at first it's like, okay, this person can only be a tank and a healer. This person can only be like a magic person and like a debuffer. But then it becomes like anybody can be anything. And you can set these custom presets up to where it's like, oh, you have like 6 of these going into a battle. And the key is to like change them on the fly. Okay. So it's like, as you're going through it, it's like, okay, I want to deal a bunch of damage. So I'm going to do like 1 tank, 2 magic people. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. And it's like, oh shit, he's about to come at me really hard. Let's all be defensive people. Okay, switching over to it. Do it. And then it's like, now we got a lot of damage. Gotta be all healers now. Like, come on, let's pop out massive heals. And it's all like real time. It's real time, quote unquote. It's like, it's turn-based, but it's that active time combat where it's like, you know, if you just stand there, you're going to die. You have to keep up with it. But that was the most fun thing about the game, in my opinion. Like, I don't remember boo about that story or that world, but like that combat system really sticks with me. And like continuing to play in that world and continuing to like build that out really was a big draw for me. Final Fantasy 16 seems like it's going to be a lot more interesting of a story and probably won't suffer from some of the same things, but it does seem like they're kind of taking some of that approach of like really refining this combat, really like digging into that hard and like maybe not going as hard on like the big front end story, like telling the more concise story while letting you kind of go off and really explore and do these kind of things. So, say all that to say, if it goes that direction, I mean, with the director that it has and with some of the pedigree combined with kind of that ethos, it could be really cool. So I'm excited for it.
Be really cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. But in the meantime, Corey, we have Street Fighter VI.
Yes.
There's also Street Fighter VI. I've been playing Street Fighter VI, Corey. You may not know this. I haven't played a ton.
Okay.
I've played some. I did play the beta. We had a little bit of a conversation about that like a month ago, but now I'm playing the full game. At this point I've played a couple of hours of World Tour. I've played a lot of tutorials and like character guides.
Okay.
Like really, really trying to wrap my head around certain things. And I've also played like some of the arcade modes, some online stuff. So I've kind of run the gambit of some of the stuff going on. By and large, like I'm really enjoying it. Like as a TLDR, really having a good time with it. I mean, to be fair, I've played a lot of Street Fighter. I grew up playing like Street Fighter 2. I'd go to arcades and play Street Fighter, like Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter Third Strike, Marvel versus Capcom. I've never been good at it. Like, but
I'm good at it.
No, God. I mean, like, maybe better than like the kid who showed up next to me. But never, I mean, I was very quickly humbled by the fact that like, it's never because like fighting games, and we'll get into it, but like fighting games, that is one of the core barriers that you have to kind of break down is like fighting games exist on like two planes simultaneously where it's like you were fighting. It's a very like in the moment type of thing where you were having to, in the case of like classic fighting games, remember all of these combos, figure out how to do all these things. It's like, okay, I need to execute this and it's going to do like quarter circle this and then boom, 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 boom. And I got to do this and I got to whatever. And at the same time, you're also effectively playing like a chess match where you're trying to like read your opponent, know how to react in the moment. And in that moment, know, okay, when they do this, I'm going to do this. And you have to recall this vast knowledge with a very precise motor skill set that is just like, if you aren't dedicated to playing fighting games, it can be a struggle to play them. Which is why I, over time, kind of gradually kind of moved away from them because it was like, games like Street Fighter and games like Marvel versus Capcom, especially because they were that direction for a long time, especially like Marvel versus Capcom, where it was like, you could do like these hundred, like I remember playing Marvel versus Capcom 3 when that came out onto like 360 and stuff. And it was like, I would go into a match like online and I would never even touch the ground or the button because somebody would come at me and would just like juggle me in the air and there was nothing I could do about it. And I would get hit 200 times and then be dead. And it wasn't fun because like they figured out that combo, that whatever. Yeah. And so like, I've always stuck to, I've played a range of fighting games, whether it's been like some Mortal Kombat. I've actually played a lot of Soul Calibur. Weirdly, like whenever I think about it, like I've played Soul Calibur 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't think 6, but I have played a lot of Soul Calibur. I did. Yeah. Cause he was a 360 character. Yeah. Oh, okay. Cause Link was I played it on the GameCube. So I played Link, and then for Soul Calibur 3, it was, Yoda was on the 360. Darth Vader was on the PS3.
Okay.
And then, Starkiller I think was like both of them.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was pretty dope. Also, Ezio's in it at Soul Calibur 4, maybe?
Okay.
I can't remember. Geralt's in it.
Yeah, too, I knew Geralt.
At some point. But yeah, it, I've been in it, but it's always been that kind of impenetrable thing and why I've never like fully dug into them. But honestly, so one of the big things that I think Street Fighter VI is doing is that it seems very dedicated to making sure that people of all skill sets can come in and enjoy the game. And I think the big thing that they're doing to make that happen is that they have multiple like control levels, effectively.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Where it's like they have a classic level, they have a modern level, and I think it's called a dynamic level. And the classic level is like your classic six button fighting game thing where it's like low punch and kick, medium punch and kick, high punch and kick. And that's all of your like quarter circle this and this, 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 and like five circles, whatever, and then punch, kick, but in like you have to do all of that stuff. And it's very difficult to do on like a controller because that those weren't built for controllers. So, I mean, you really do have to have this like claw grip and you're doing all these weird things. And then dynamic is a mode that like most people probably won't touch, but it's essentially kind of like a one button does everything kind of thing where you can go into it, you can press like square and it'll execute this whole combo and do whatever, but like it makes it very easy to where it's like, okay, if you really don't have like the fine motor skills or you're really struggling to progress or whatever, you can use this and it will really like it will effectively use like an AI to determine, okay, like you press this, we're going to execute like a combo that's like best for this scenario. It's limited to offline play. I think it's limited to certain modes. So it's not like people can go online and be using this, but it very much is a thing where it's like, if you want to play with your little brother or something, like you can go in, you can have fun. The default mode, which honestly is like the most interesting one to me, is the modern control scheme, which I think the closest analogous to me would be Smash Brothers.
Interesting.
Honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
Where it's very like, there's still a few moves, depending on the character that you're playing, that are like quarter circle, whatever, here and there. But by and large, things like your core move sets are based around like, you know, rather than low punch and kick and medium punch and kick, it's just you have a low button, you have a medium button, you have a high button. Okay. And it limits your like fine tuning, but it executes the core skill. Like you were doing a low, you're doing a light punch, you're doing a medium punch, whatever. But then there is one special button and it effectively like acts as the B button in Super Smash Brothers, where it's like you press the special button, it does a move. You press over in special button, does a different move. You press down in special button, does a different move. You press up in special button, does a different move. And it's like, and from my experience playing it, like I was having come from like that classic thing, it was like, no, I need to brute force my way through this.
Yeah.
I don't need to use this modern, like, what does that say about me that I can't learn this? I can't finally learn this, like, you know, cryptic skill set that's been eluding me for the last 30 years of my life. Like, but it has opened the game up to be so much more fun to me because it feels like it's in a sense kind of removing a layer of the equation, or it's at least stripping it back because like Smash Brothers, I love for the sense of like, it's not because it's difficult to execute the moves. Like if I'm playing as, you know, my go-to, Toon Link's my guy.
Toon Link.
It's not hard to shoot an arrow with Toon Link. It's not hard to to throw a boomerang with Toon Link. I'm not having to sit there thinking about how to execute these moves. My mind can be very into what is the other person doing? Where am I situationally? What am I like? and I can react knowing that I can reliably execute these moves. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of how this feels. Is like, yeah, I'm very out of practice and I'm not good at fighting games, but it feels like I can go into these games, and more than ever, I feel like I'm able to go into a fight and like read my opponent better than I've ever been able to, because I'm not sitting there being like, oh shit. Okay. If he punches me, I need to remember this 5-button combo. Right. It's like, I can watch and I can react and I can do something. Even if it's not perfect, I can do something that's meaningful here.
Yeah.
And it also helps that Street Fighter VI, and I don't know what the general consensus is, but like Street Fighter VI also has this system called the Drive Impact system, mm-hmm. which like also adds another layer where it's like, there are multiple like drive skills where it's like, okay, there's this drive impact skill that like can kind of bust through normal moves and kind of get you out of corners. There's a drive parry that can like help you block and absorb attacks whenever you're getting rained down on. And it's like, it really feels like they thought a lot about giving you a lot of tools to be like, hey, in all of these situations, if you are getting like, if somebody's just like spamming you with the same attack, you can get out of it.
Yeah.
If you're having trouble like remembering how to do this like super move, don't worry about it. You can hold down this button and you can, because there's also like assisted combos for the modern thing where it's like you hold down R2 and you press square, 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 and he'll do like a full ass combo, like a whole actual usable combo of things. Similar to anybody who's played like Dragon Ball Fighters, where mm-hmm. it would be like, oh, you could press like this button 4 times and he would do like punch, punch, kick, kamehameha, and like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so it gives you a level of accessibility there that I think is really cool. And it's made me like, it's made me want to actually go in and be like, okay, I feel like I can actually learn these characters.
Yeah.
Potentially. I mean, like, I've been playing as anybody who's playing Street Fighter VI, I've been playing as Jamie. He's been the one that's clicked with me so far. Jamie has the drunken master style. He's very much kind of in that mm-hmm. lane. And like his big core thing is like, you got to get those drinks in.
Yeah.
And those drinks like make him more powerful. And, it's getting those, figuring out that spacing to be able to get your drinks, doing those combos that allows you to slip a little drink in there, here and there, mm-hmm. like, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's like, I feel like I have the range to be able to actually learn some of the nuances of Jamie, because it's like, I'm not having to worry about like, okay, I don't have to, in the clutch, I don't have to remember how to do this thing where he like kicks the guy up into the sky. I know that I can just do that like really quick. So I can look for the openings for that better. That has been the fun thing. So, you know, it's still a fighting game. If that's not your speed, it may still kind of put you off, but like it feels more accessible than any of these traditional fighters have been. Which also like moves over into World Tour mode. World Tour mode, the first single player open world whatever thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is legitimately the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's like, it's also the best thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, you make this dumbass character with a tiny head who's wearing a pink hat and
Tim
like
Turner.
Upside down spin kicking across alleyways. Like, I mean,
incredible.
It is the dumbest, and you're running up and like, so, I mean, if anybody didn't listen to the, cause I talked a little bit about it in the beta or whenever we had that beta discussion, but I mean, it's essentially like you create a character, it has this very robust character creator mode, and you go in, you make a character and you start effectively like traveling the world and studying under these legends who are all the characters from the roster. So Chun-Li, Ryu, you start off with Luke, who's effectively like the new generation's Ryu. Mm-hmm. And one of the benefits of doing it is that it like the people that you fight are usually kind of like spamming a certain motion that you may find. So like this guy jumps over and over and over again. So it kind of teaches you to deal with some of those things. Like this guy just spams projectiles, whatever. Like it's helping you kind of wrap your head around how to deal with those situations. But it also, like, you learn these skills and you learn these styles. And so you're getting a lot of exposure to your character now fights like Chun-Li. Your character now fights like this person. And you can adapt it. Like, you can create effectively like a broken character that can all of these. He's like, I have these weird stretchy arms, and I can also like pile drive you into the ground and like do all these kind of all these weird things. But it gives you a lot of exposure to a lot of these things. The weird thing about it is the fact that it is just like, it has this Yakuza energy about it where it's super goofy world.
Yeah.
And you can just run around, like, especially later, or not later, but like half an hour in, hour in. Because at the beginning, you have to walk up. You can walk up to virtually anybody and be like, you want to fight? They'll be like, yeah, I do. And doesn't matter who they are. Maybe it's a mime. Maybe it's the hot dog stand guy. Doesn't matter. You can fight them and you'll fight. Lizzies. Yeah. And you do your thing. Not too long after you start, you learn these like world super moves from, so like Luke gets his uppercut. Chun-Li gets her spinning kick. You can just run up to you could run up to a guy and just rising uppercut him straight to the face. And it'll just start it'll just start a match immediately. So like I ran up, Chun-Li's doing her Tai Chi out in the field, ran up to an old lady, just freaking uppercutted her straight to the chin and went fisticuffs. Like we started fighting in the streets, and like, it's a constant weirdo thing. And it's super like, it's long. I don't know that I'll finish it. It's like 20 hours. It is fascinating. Like it's just a really interesting thing. And I think like overall, like the fact that Street Fighter VI is like this, I think is great, because like I didn't play Street Fighter V, and a lot of that was because whenever Street Fighter V came out, it was just like completely cast aside, because it was like it has next to no characters, has no modes, there's nothing, like basically unless you're playing it competitive, there's nothing here for you. And over time, like obviously they get more stuff, they get more characters, it gets more fun, it becomes like a fuller game. But Street Fighter V like started off and pretty much was like a not well regarded game for most of the time it was out. And then Street Fighter VI, I mean, seems like it's starting off strong. I mean, like, it just seems like there's so much stuff. Well, and there's so many, like, there are character guides where you go in and it gives you advice about, like, just how to play this character. If you're playing somebody like Jamie, it says, like, hey, if you're trying to close a gap, here's a good call to make. Try using this move and then this combo. Like, that's pretty solid. It'll do you some good. Like, it's actively going, it's not just teaching you random combos, it's going in and teaching you strategy.
Yeah.
And all of these characters have these unique things where you can go in and you're learning these facets, and you can really kind of get a sense of like, okay, maybe this character's for me, maybe they're not so much, and whatever. But yeah, I mean, there's a huge varied, like there are 18 characters. It's a relatively varied roster where it's like, when you got your big beefy fellows, where it's like Zangief, and there's a new girl named Marissa who gives off some like Zarya vibes.
Yeah.
She'll like just take you out. She has like old gladiator energy about her.
That's sick.
And then there are characters like, there's a character named Manon, who's like a French ballerina. There's a character named Kimberly, who's like a, I don't really know. She listens to music and she's kind of a ninja. Yeah. I mean, she's got like graffiti, you know, she does her whole thing. Like, So, I mean, and then there are a bunch of like classic characters and, you know, they're going to come out with characters and stuff. And so it's like, there's a lot of just, there's a lot of interesting stuff. I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm excited that it's, I also, it's one of the few games that like I bought digitally.
Ooh.
Usually I buy games like physical. I bought it digitally for that reason. Cause I was like, I know myself and I know if I buy this on a disc, and I have to like convince myself, like, I mean, if I have like 10 minutes to kill, I'm not going to go dig out a disc and pop it in. I was like, I'll switch over to it. If it's digital, I'll switch over to it and I will play a little bit. Nice. Like I know that I will play a little bit more if I have a digital. So that's what I did. And I'm proud of myself for it.
So smart. Yeah. It's probably going to if I get Diablo 4, that I'll probably get it digitally.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
I get it. So. Corey, running a little bit long. Kingdom Minute.
Kingdom
Minute. I talked a lot about Street Fighter.
Street Fighter 6 sounds incredible. So
it's very good. It's, yeah.
You should be able to talk about it as long as you want.
If you get it, Corey, you and I going
to
go.
It's maybe.
You and me.
It'll be digitally too.
Yeah. You have that. You and I have played Smash. You've got that energy.
I'm okay at fighting games. If I can get my hands on a character, I can get really good with them. I played Smash with Logan, who we had on our show. Me and him worked together for like a year, and we played Smash every day at lunch. And he was always better than me.
Yeah.
But my Toon Link, he could not beat. It kind of didn't matter. It was one that, like, generally whenever I did a couple Dragon Ball Z games as well, I'd play online and I played as Gohan and I was goated as Gohan because Gohan was goated no longer. This topic for another day. But yeah, if I can get my hands on a character and like get really good and like know their moveset, I get pretty good. Nothing incredible though.
Take it as a challenge, Corey.
All right.
But how far are you in Tears of the Kingdom? How are you doing on that?
Still trucking along. I'm still loving. Loving is such an understatement. I am constantly in awe, I think.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm probably like 90 hours in now. I've just started. I just built my house. Did that, didn't know I could do that. Did a little quest somewhere, not trying to spoil it for anyone, and I'm building a house.
Which I mean, just before you move on, I'm excited that that's a thing. I recently heard that that was a thing in it, and like that was one of my favorite parts about Breath of the Wild was like Tarrytown in Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tarrytown exists in Tears of the Kingdom, but it's like, it doesn't have to exist in Breath of the Wild because you build it out. Like you build that town, you help build that town, you build your house. Like, and so the fact that there's still that element in there makes my heart happy.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard tons about Tarrytown. And so it was wonderful getting to see it. I'm like, okay, this is what all the hype's about. And I appreciate that it's just like a melting pot of the world. But yeah, it was so cool to get there. And not wanting to get into anything else. Build a house. Going to add on to it. I did the sickest sky dungeon the other day.
Okay.
It involves mirrors and lights. And it changes.
Oh, yeah. I think I did do that one.
It changes its difficulty depending on the time of day. Because different amounts of light comes in through the sky hole.
Okay.
And so you have to move the mirrors around to angle it correctly. And
interesting.
I found like just the physics of it all fascinating. I'm like, depending on what time of day it is where the light's going to enter, which means my starting point's going to change because it's not going to be able to make this like line I need it to get to like open this gate. And just blew my mind. And then there's another one where I have to launch a block into the air into another like Death Star one.
Yeah.
And that was just so fun as I'm just like, all right, And line her up. And in 3, 2, 1, miss. All right, next. And just I'm just launching them over and over again, trying to like line up the shot. Yeah, it's wonderful. I did recently like dig in a bit more. It's like, okay, let's get a little more story done. So I got through like 4 or more of the Dragon Tears. I'm almost done with that quest now.
Okay.
And it's shaping up to be very, very well done, but also I'm like, okay, I really like my time in Breath of the Wild. The story felt non-existent, if that makes sense. Like it was very much, Link's been asleep for 100 years. He needs to rescue Zelda. Here's the easiest way you can do it. Go do it. And you can find some stuff through the memories that'll give you a little bit more. But it could just be because I didn't play a ton of Breath of the Wild and I didn't see a ton of the memories or finish all of the main dungeons. But so far in Tears of the Kingdom, like the story feels far more meatier, and like far more integral to the gameplay and what's going on and really digging in. But yeah, I've gone through the depths a bit more, found some more different armors. Yeah, I'm just like doing whatever my heart fancies most of the time. I love it. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's been a blast. I'm like 50 shrines in.
You've done more shrines than me then, I think.
I've done 2 dungeons now.
Okay.
Yeah, I went through at least the first dungeon because I was hearing a lot of stuff where it's like,
it's so sick.
Well, also too, it seems like there are a number of things that like don't trigger until you've at least beaten one dungeon. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I need to at least progress a little in the story, even if I'm not like trying to do them all. I need to move that direction at least to like start getting some other stuff done. But yeah, they're markedly better than the Divine Beasts in that way. Like even if they're not like, I don't necessarily think that they're as iconic as, you know, standard Legend of Zelda dungeons in certain ways, but like they're really interesting. I think they utilize like a lot of the systems really interesting, like in it really interesting ways. And there's a lot of like, you know, it's giving like a very interesting kind of rounded picture of these areas and these characters and like the towns that they're in and the ways that they're suffering. Because like, you know, the Rito people, they're all like, they're eclipsed in like eternal snow and they're struggling to find food. And they're like, you're getting this kind of picture of like how this is affecting their day to day. You know, the Goron have this weird, like everybody's eating a lot and it's making them weird. And, you know,
the Gerudo is like a Walking Dead situation.
Okay. And so it's an interesting thing, just kind of like, and there's also like an impetus there where it's like, it's not just you are going to get, I'm going to get these divine beasts so I can make a super weapon to go beat Ganon. It's like, you're actually going to help people. That's a big part of it. It's like, you're trying to go help a group of people who are kind of struggling right now. And like, it's a meaningful thing. And that seems to be kind of the general consensus is like with Breath of the Wild, like I loved the storytelling that just kind of like emerged out of things. It was a thing where it was like, you know, most people were just kind of like, it'd been 100 years.
Yeah.
People were pretty used to the fact that like, this is just the way things are. Mm-hmm. And they were traveling around and like, maybe this guy's like maybe he's kind of trapped by some monsters and you need to save him. But by and large, like you were just kind of coming back into the picture and you're trying to write things. But this, you know, it's a recent disaster. People are struggling. People are confused. You're coming in and you're trying to like help. And that's it does feel like a more meaningful adventure in that way. And it does feel like it's really making some really interesting connections and really just interesting storytelling moments. And like, you know, I'm really digging that aspect of it a lot.
And I think to follow up on you there with the citizens of Hyrule, I mean, it's very much like, okay, we had this 100-year calamity and here's this other essentially like follow-up like catastrophe. They aren't running into their shells this time. They've seen like Zelda and Link save the day. And now the Zelda is gone. It is very much known. And it's like, okay, well, we can't rely on her to save us this time. We have to do it ourselves. And so there's monster patrol crews going out. It's like, nope, we're going to make sure like that these aren't like bothering like the citizens around here. There's people traveling to and fro trying to make sure like the food's still getting there. Like people are like happy to assist and like rise up to match the situation. And I think you being as Link in this void that there is no Zelda going from town to town where like, hey, we need you. We need your help. I agree. It's all of a sudden you are making an impact. You do feel like a hero this time around instead of give me your nuclear weapon, please. is very much of, okay, what can I do? Let's knock this out together. Like we are a team. Yep. And we're both better for it. The town's better for it. I think it's wonderful. Like, you are a chaos of good so far. And, yeah, absolutely astounding. Bit changes of subject. I did find a Colosseum in the depths.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. This might be the one you found where there's five Lionel that you have to beat sequentially. And I had never beaten a Lionel.
No, it wasn't. I had a conversation with another friend and I realized there are a total of six depths Colosseums. Okay. They had also found the Lionel one.
Yeah.
I did not.
I found two back to back. I couldn't get the third. I tried for a long time. I was just not well equipped enough. I think if I went down there now, I could, but I did just try taking a white Lionel or a silver Lionel that I found out in the wild, and he kicked my booty left, right, and center. I just
need
better weapons, need to upgrade my armor more and all these different things, but it's kind of one of those things where like I've enjoyed like the awe-ness and like just the fun factor of it. There is a little bit of like the lizard brain in the back of my head being like, okay, no, we need to go and like get some resources. That way we can get our armor up because we're losing too many hit points when we're taking hits. I think it's a good thing. I am enjoying that because now I have my bearings. I know what the world's offering. I know where I can find different things. Jesus, your cat is going dummy in the litter box.
Yeah, they're in the litter box. They're going. And then, I thought one of them was, one of my cats recently has taken up, like, when another cat is in the litter box, he sits on top of the other litter box and just watches them. So I thought that was also happening.
Voyeur-y. But no, it's a little bit of like, okay, I know where I need to go to find a lot of these things, or I'm keeping track in my head. Like, okay, now I have like the wings, the eyeballs, all this, I can go and upgrade my wingsuit. And I'm finding some enjoyment in that too. It's just so good.
Yeah, it has been a blast in a way that like both I knew it would be and also was not expecting. So, it is a year of games, people.
Year of games.
People. There's a lot of stuff. It's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Corey, this has been a great episode.
Yes.
Our next one will be the next one. Yeah, we'll come in a little bit late after Keely talk, but you know, we'll be here. Because we're going to be a little bit late, we're going to talk about it all.
Yeah.
It's all going to be here. You're not going to have to worry about like, hey, it gets split up. I didn't hear about this. We're going to talk about it all because we're thorough. It's going to be a chungus.
This is a chungus though.
The beef chungus. Yeah. With extra cheese. Corey, while I'm at the beach, until then, you know, until next time, Where can people find you on the
internet? Find me over on Instagram at HashSlingAndThrasher or on Twitter at StayThrashy, but always, more importantly, follow our Twitter page, Arcade_Cozy. Yeah, please. I don't know. Do whatever you feel like, actually, really. Chris, yeah. Where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me at 4PointPixel on Instagram, Swiss Von Joe on Twitter. Also, Swiss Von Joe on Street Fighter 6. Come at me. My Jamie Junkin style is, you know, I've lost a lot, but I'm getting better. So come at me. Try my hand, people. Johnny Be Good, 89 intro outro music. You can also find us arcadecozy@gmail.com. Just I'll throw a lot of things. You can parse through it. Corey, yeah. Couple of weeks, week and a half, something like that. Yeah. We'll be back again. But until then, this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should your hobbies be too? Yeah. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-bow.